Welcome to Pigskins and Pageantry, a podcast dedicated to all things SEC football. My name is Wes, and I'd like to invite you to join me, Jesse, and Matt each week as we discuss last week's games, news from around the league, make predictions for the upcoming games, and much, much more. Well, from a week that routinely gets us made fun of as a conference every year to a week that brings some of the most exciting games of the season, this time of year is wild and crazy. We're here to discuss it with a unique twist for you, the listener slash viewer, because you could get normal cookie cutter analysis from anywhere else, but you chose us to listen to, and you chose us for a reason, and we're not here to disappoint. So joining me is Bama alum and Crimson Tide fan, Jesse. How goes it?
Pretty good. You know, Cupcake Week is one that is a conference favorite, all but maybe not on the plains this week. But as a Bama fan, Tuscaloosa has been just fine after senior day.
Yeah. Well, Matt is on vacation this week, which he says works out fine because he didn't want to talk about last week's games anyway. But seriously, we hope he enjoys the well-earned vacay, and we'll talk about SEC championship predictions with him next week. So, but yeah, as I mentioned, some games from last week to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into those.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
All right, the first one from last week that we'll talk about, Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia winning this one 38-10. And for, I don't think it's the first time, but the first time in a really long time, someone got the score exactly right, and that was Matt, so he gets 2 points for that. So, but for this game, first play was a long touchdown run for Tennessee, and I'm just sitting there staring at my screen like, okay, here we go. But the Dogs did settle down, only allowed three more before half and then nothing in the second half. Meanwhile, the offense continued to produce. So it was funny because somebody on TikTok said, I forgot to mention Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint in the list of weapons for this game. And for me, it wasn't so much about forgetting as much as it's just a lot of people to mention. And so he just didn't come up. But to that point, a lot of other guys did stand up in this game. I did mention Bowers, McConkey, Lovett, Ra-Ra Thomas. But the heroes of this game were Dylan Bell with 5 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown, as well as throwing a touchdown on a trick play. And obviously, Rosemy Jack Saint, who had 7 catches for 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. Arian Smith had the longest run of the game for the Dogs for 33 yards. So you really just don't know who they're going to turn to next. And that's exactly how you want it to be on offense. Consistent production, but unpredictable for the defenses. You don't know who's going to have the ball. So also, I think that motivates guys because when they do get touches, they want to make the most of it. So, yeah, all good things from a Georgia fan perspective. But Jesse, what were your thoughts on this one?
As a Bama fan, again, this is a game that I absolutely loathe both teams. So there is no love lost here for either team to lose. But
I think they could both lose, right? So
right, if there was a way. But it was much like I think everyone else watching it, where you see Tennessee come out and you think, oh, okay, maybe things are going to happen, and then it just didn't. I mean, you look at the stat line, and the one that jumps out to me is the time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
40 minutes and 58 seconds for UGA, 19 minutes and 2 seconds for Tennessee. They got beat on both sides of the ball. I mean, they absolutely could not stand up on either side. They were not able to keep their offense on the field, and they certainly kept the defense on the field, unfortunately. And that is, it's just not a good look. I mean, you look at UGA 472 yards compared to the Tennessee 277. And that's even with UGA losing the turnover battle. They had one turnover, whereas Tennessee did not. But I agree. I think this game was one where you thought, well, dang, we might see something happen. And then it was much the same that we've seen this season of teams start out maybe a little hot, and then they are just not able to keep up with the Dogs across 4 quarters.
Yeah, it was one of those. I mean, obviously they played it, and Kirby mentioned this at the halftime interview. Just they played the first play wrong. Everybody took wrong angles to it, and ultimately led to that long play. And then obviously they cleaned it up. So,
in Tennessee, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You performed that way in front of the Queen herself. Our Lord and Savior Dolly Parton graced you with her presence.
And I noticed that, she had some issues hearing herself too. And I don't know if there was something with the ear monitors or what, but, I mean, obviously she's going to push through it, and as a professional would, but yeah, that was cool to have her there, but you're right. You know, I know they want to do better for her, but Matt did have something to say here. He said, well, I'm glad we got something out of this. Beep. I'll just go ahead and censor it myself. But I assume he means the double points for himself. He said, not shocked by the final. Am shocked with how weak we looked against UGA. Oh, well, still angling for a decent bowl game. Also, Vol Twitter needs to calm the hell down. All this Milton blaming and fire hypo stuff needs to stop. And I'm inclined to agree with him. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of that talk going. Anytime there's any kind of disappointment in college football nowadays, it's kind of like the immediate go-to answer. Get them out. So, but again,
how many coaches are they going to have in a decade?
It's like we always say, though, if you want to get rid of them, fine. Who are you going to get? Right.
Who are you going to get?
Right. So anyway, all right, let's move to the next one, which I didn't expect to have to talk about, and cover your ears if you're an Auburn fan. New Mexico State at Auburn, New Mexico State winning this one 31-10. Nobody got the point here because obviously we didn't pick them. But Auburn was a 26-point favorite on this one, and they lost by 21. Auburn's offense, when I was watching it, they just couldn't get anything going. And we've seen that a decent amount this year. And the Aggies pulled out all the stops. They went for it on fourth down, pulling out every play in the playbook. And also, I mean, they're no slouch. They will be playing for their conference title game in a couple of weeks as well. So, I think they were what, like 8-2 or 8-3, or I don't know what their record was, but they're doing really well. So, Auburn is here's an interesting stat. Auburn is the first SEC team in 45 years to be favored by at least 25 and lose by double digits. Also, this is the largest upset against Auburn in the last 45 years as well. So, not the kind of stats that you're wanting to see if you're an Auburn fan. Jesse, what are your thoughts on this one?
This is just one thing that I wanted to point out that I did see. Auburn paid New Mexico State $1.85 million to come to Auburn.
Insult to injury.
They got paid. They left with the ninth and biggest win of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It for Auburn, it's got to be super disappointing. I mean, we had started to see somewhat of an identity develop for their offense over the past three or so games, right? The team this weekend, it's like they got their social security number stolen. They had no identity. They lost it. We don't know. Maybe a prince from another country had called and asked for some assistance, but it looked like the team that played Cal earlier this season. Mm. And that's not a good thing. I don't know why. I really am not sure what happened. And truth be told, I think New Mexico State wanted it more. I mean, you walk in there and you underestimate your opponent. You think that you're at home. You're injuring hair, weird things happen there. And you have what you consider to be a lower level opponent coming in there. And maybe they're already focused on Bama next week. I don't know. But New Mexico State wanted it. I mean, that was clear. They were able to line up and beat Auburn on both sides of the ball. I mean, it really was. Auburn was getting bullied on offense and on defense. And it wasn't great. Like, the offensive line for Auburn did a terrible job. It was a lack of protecting Peyton Thorne. Mm-hmm. And most of their rushing game came from Thorne when he was scrambling, later in a play to try to make something happen. And I don't think the defense was making any progress up front. New Mexico State ran the ball, and they were able to make it happen and come out with a win. And this loss, a loss like this, can really crush the momentum that you have going into this latter half of a season, especially for a team that had started to develop something there. This can be a really tough loss that's going to make people question what's going on, if they're in the right program. And for a first-year coach, at Auburn, in Hugh Freeze, this is not a great look. And we know that his salary is not necessarily a small one. We also know that Auburn is not a patient place. I'm not saying he would get fired over this, but I imagine that they're very frustrated by this as the boosters. They sprung for a pretty decent sized name in Hugh Freeze and someone that is very offensively minded, and to have New Mexico State come in there and almost double your amount of, you know, yardage and nearly double the amount of possession time is not great. And so I think if you're one of the Auburn faithful, you're very frustrated, but hats off to New Mexico State. Good for you, for proving that any given weekend, every team has to show up, every team has to go out there and execute, and cannot, in the words of one of my favorite movies, lollygag.
You lollygag. Yeah, to your point about getting bullied, I think it was Ben Watson on SEC Network was just talking about how they just kind of got punched in the mouth. Auburn did, and kind of got pushed around on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And then they were talking to Hugh Freeze about it, and he said, you know, but just basically this is one of those where you realize that you got to go out there and fight for every win out there. This is nobody's entitled to any wins out there. And hopefully, and he did add as a program just starting out, because I think he wants it understood that we're just getting started here. Let's have a long period of evaluation.
When you take that job at Auburn, you are not naive to the fact that there is no patience for you.
Right.
But there is very, very little grace that's going to come your way. And you got to set that expectation. You got to make sure everybody's aligned.
Yeah. Well, he said he hoped that would kind of sit in their stomach in a bad way, that it would, you know, motivate them to kind of make them, obviously them feeling sick over this loss will hopefully motivate them more than anything. So, you know, we'll see. Again, not a lot of the personnel that I think he wants there yet. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. You're right. They're not patient. I don't think he's gone after, you know, they're not going to do anything drastic over this, but if things don't go well down the road, they may point back to this saying, see, that happened and there hasn't been any improvement. So we'll see. But anyway, all right, let's move to Florida at Missouri. Missouri winning this one 33-31. I got the point here. Wild game, especially in the second half. Graham Mertz took contact to get a gutsy first down in this one, but suffered a collarbone injury and had to come out. Mizzou got out to a comfortable lead after that, but backup Max Brown led Florida on a comeback that got them the lead 31-30. There was still time, though, and Brady Cook threw a huge pass on 4th and 17 to set up the game winner by Harrison Meavis, who promptly did the gator chomp in celebration afterwards. So a wild finish, yet another wild finish at Mizzou, winning on a field goal. Jesse, what were your thoughts on this one?
This one was not what I expected. I mean, you see, who knew that we'd be talking about a Mizzou team this kind of successful, you know, this late in the season and even at all this season. But for a Florida team that has looked extraordinarily questionable, I was impressed by, you know, what they were able to do.
Yeah,
I said it before about Graham Mertz in previous games, but he is pretty gritty. He will put his body on the line. You know, he's playing with messed up fingers before, he's injured himself this time. And their backup was not a joke either. I mean, I think maybe they just decided that they were tired of being embarrassed and they were going to finally get it together and look like a team. But you look at this, there's 500 plus total offense on each side, which is wild. Turnovers on the Florida side, which is not great. So maybe those make a big difference. But I think for Mizzou, or really for both sides, is they lacked some tackling. The Tigers allowed a lot of yardage and some big plays because they couldn't wrap up on tackles. They allowed a lot of chunk plays when they were in position to actually make a tackle and force some stops, and they couldn't execute. And so I think that inability of their defense to finish a tackle, make a tackle, and contain Florida, specifically on the rushing attack, was a big issue in this game. And it could have turned out quite differently and not come down to a very last minute play on their half. I think the other way is, you know, going back to just not taking it to the last few minutes, is there were several ways for them to win the football game, and it shouldn't have come down to this last little bit. You know, I'm not sure which Tigers defense showed up today, but it wasn't on Saturday, but it wasn't a good one. And Florida's defense is pretty lackluster, which, I mean, you can look at the total yardage, but still, I would imagine that Mizzou would have been able to execute even more, especially in the second half. So I think what I take away from this game is, yes, Mizzou is still more impressive than I anticipated them being, regardless of the fact that their defense was a little suspect in this one, because they did walk away with a win. And I think when you're Florida, you've got to figure out what happened here. I mean, other than the fact that Mizzou didn't tackle very well, and start to build on that. You've got to pick out what those positive moments are and start to build those so that you can continue to build a program around that, because I am concerned for Coach Napier's job. I really am. And I think what really helped Mizzou as well was forcing some turnovers. So I don't know. I imagine Coach Napier is probably having an anxious Thanksgiving dinner this week.
Yeah, especially with the possibility of his quarterback missing some more time. So we'll kind of wait and see what goes on there. I haven't really seen anything for sure. I think it's possible that the collarbone injury might be not as bad as they thought, but still may keep him out of the game on Saturday. So I'll have to keep an eye on that. One thing that I have to talk about before we move on is the Drinkwitz, the stand on business, which we texted about in our group. Obviously, when Mizzou beat Tennessee, Drinky ran to the midfield and shook Heupel's hand and said, "We stand on business, Josh." And I was like, "That's really weird." And then I heard him say it again to the team in the locker room. And then I keep seeing people who are not talking about football talk about it. And I was like, I gotta check this out. And obviously I went to Urban Dictionary, because that's what you do. And basically, I guess it means to handle one's own business, if I can, you know, give the definition there. But I thought it was hilarious, because I feel like Drinkwitz is really just trying to connect with the kids on this team. So it's almost like he just ran and tried to find something
on TikTok constantly.
Yeah, just something that he can relate to them on some kind of level. It's almost like, you know, when like a kid learns like a new cuss word or something and just like uses it all the time just because. I feel like that's what he was doing, because he said it so much there in a very short span. I was like, I don't really know what we're doing here. But yeah, it's like he's really trying. He's really trying.
Doing his best. It's a weird look, though. It's
yeah, very weird. But it is Drinky, so it is what it is. So, all right, let's move to Kentucky at South Carolina. South Carolina winning here 17-14. I was the only one to pick South Carolina. Darude was in the house for this one, which might have been the inspiration that they needed for this one. Xavier Leggett continues to step up big for this Carolina team. Making clutch catches. On the other side, Devin Leary continuing to struggle. Again, not sure if it's play calling, but certainly some poor decisions out there as well that we saw on the field. So Carolina keeps their bowl hopes alive in this one. They'll have to beat Clemson in order to make it to a bowl game, but it is possible. You're saying there's a chance. So, Jesse, what were your thoughts on Kentucky at South Carolina?
I obviously did not see it coming because I did not pick South Carolina, but three turnovers for Kentucky. That's not a good look. And again, we talk about it every single week, but you lose the turnover battle more often than not, you're going to lose the game. And they had very similar, you know, times of possession, very similar total yardage, the exact same first downs. And I don't know, I could be absolutely off in this, but you give me Spencer Rattler or Devin Leary, and I'm going to pick Spencer Rattler every time. Devin Leary just ain't it for me. You mentioned it could absolutely be play calling as well, which is very strange because everyone was saying that the Devin Leary and OC matchup was going to be a match made in heaven, and it's exactly what they were looking for. But I don't think it is. And Spencer Rattler, he went off. I mean, 19 for 27, 207 yards, two touchdowns. That's, you know, that's your guy. Where you see on the opposite end, you've got Devin Leary, 17 for 34. Yeah, he had 171 yards, one TD, but one interception. I don't know. And again, I look at Ray Davis's stats, and it's interesting. I feel like if he had gone somewhere else, which I mean, I know he did previously, but if he were at a different program in the SEC, I have to imagine that his stats are insane. You know, and I know they have been before, but as of late, I just don't see them utilizing him the way that we have seen other programs do in the past. And of course, it's about the degree. We want them to get degrees. We want them to be successful in life. But I imagine it's got to be disappointing for him.
When you're talking about utilization, I think there was a portion of this game where people were wondering if he was still on the team because he wasn't being utilized at all. And then he had that big touchdown run that reminded everyone. But yeah, you're right. Not a whole lot of utilization here for someone who's been very key for that offense. So,
and this is a key SEC win for South Carolina right now. I mean,
yeah,
a season that has not been spectacular, coming off of a season where they had, you know, those key surprise moments.
Mm-hmm.
This was needed,
for sure. And like I said, keeping those bowl hopes alive. We'll see how that goes. All right, let's just skim through the blowouts from last week. Obviously, pop in if you have any comments on any of these. But Chattanooga at Alabama, Bama winning this one 66-10. I got the point here. Jesse, do you have anything to say about it as a Bama fan?
I mean, Jalen Milroe had a day, and he was only out there for half of the game. This is what should have happened. This is what was in the plans. But if you notice, going into this week, Nick Saban was very careful to make sure that the guys did not slip up here and that they did not take this as a joke or easy. This is a team that in the FBS is very successful. And yes, they did not have their starting quarterback, and they had their backup, who, good for him, from Huntsville. He's still getting to play in Bryant-Denny, even though he doesn't play for Bama. So good for him.
Yeah.
But this game was executed how it should be. And it was also good to have the opportunity to have Ty Simpson come in and play a decent amount of downs so that he can get some experience as well.
He might be lucky to be allowed back in the game, though.
That's fair. That is very fair.
How many times are we going to watch somebody drop the ball before they get to the end zone before we learn? And how many times? I mean, because we see it all the time.
Hold it the whole way through. Like, go past the goalpost and then drop it.
Yeah. So Saban wouldn't even look at him after that.
No. And that might be worse than getting yelled at or spanked.
Right. Yeah, you're right. The silent treatment. We don't see that from Saban a lot, but it might actually be worse.
Because you know that there's something terrifying simmering under.
Right.
Just, ugh.
Well, and you get the feeling that if he's yelling at you, he he probably cares enough to point it out. But if he's not yelling at you, it might be because he's like, I don't know if I'm going to play this guy anymore.
It's like, I'm not even going to dignify that or your existence with the response right now.
Right.
That hurts.
It does. All right. Next, UL Monroe at Ole Miss. Ole Miss winning this one 35-3. Matt and Jesse had the same differential, did the math. Jesse gets the point. Southern Miss at Mississippi State. State won this one 41-20. It wasn't always that much of a decisive win for State, but they pulled ahead in the end. Matt got the point here. Will Rogers seeing his first time playing in over a month, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then he got back in. Abilene Christian at Texas A&M. A&M won in this one 38-10. Matt got the point here. Let's see. And then there was Florida International at Arkansas. Arkansas winning 44-20. Jesse gets the point here. And then finally, Georgia State at LSU. LSU winning this one 56-14. And Jesse gets this point also. So, yeah, lots of quick ones to summarize. Is there anything that you want to touch on from any of the rest of them before we move on?
I don't think so. I mean, other than whoever scheduled poor Georgia State in Death Valley at night is just, that's rude. It's just not necessary. Why did y'all do them like that?
It was. And Daniels passing for 6 touchdowns and rushing for 2. The stats just continue to be insane.
He had 413 yards
just
by himself.
Passing. Yeah. then throwing 96 rushing on top of that. So
I mean, 25 for 30. Have mercy. Have mercy on Georgia State. Good God.
It's just wild. All right, the current pick'em standings, I've got 41, Matt has 31, Jesse has 25. So we'll see how the rest of them shake out. Not a whole lot of big news on the docket right now, but we'll go ahead and get into some upcoming games because it is rivalry week.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right, first is Ole Miss at 9-2, 5-2 in the SEC at Mississippi State, 5-6, 1-6 in the SEC. This is the Egg Bowl, and that will be Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, November the 23rd at 7:30 on ESPN. Ole Miss leads this series 64-46-6, and Mississippi State won last year, so that is the current streak that's going. Matt says it's going to be Ole Miss 42-20. So that is his prediction. We really didn't have much chance to talk about it last week, but after Zach Arnett's firing, Mississippi State's interim head coach is senior offensive analyst Greg Knox. So he's kind of the interim there for now. But yeah, State is in better shape with Will Rogers at quarterback, I think. But we've seen them struggle offensively this year, even with him at times. I think Ole Miss has enough offensive firepower to get it done with Jackson Dart, Quinshon Judkins. I'm going to go Ole Miss here as well, 31-21. Jesse, what's your pick?
I agree. It's unfortunate for Mississippi State. They're going through, you know, just the aftermath of losing a lovely human being. But
yeah,
they also have not shown a lot on defense either. And with an offense that is as supercharged as Ole Miss can be, I think this might not be a very enjoyable day in Starkville. But this Egg Bowl in general is one I always really enjoy watching. Not a fan of either team, but it is really fun to watch. It gets a little chippy mm-hmm. oftentimes, which can be fun to watch when it's not your team. But in this one, I'm going to go with Ole Miss 31-14.
And that is the game where, was it last year or the year before that, the guy acted like he was peeing like a dog mm-hmm. in the end zone? Yeah, I mm-hmm. thought that was that one. Yeah, so you never know what's going to happen in this game. So.
I mean, this is also the one that, oh my God. I'm blanking on who was the quarterback at Ole Miss before Jackson Dart.
Plumlee? Was it Plumlee?
He was terrible and then he was really good. He's the one that, like, he got injured in the Egg Bowl, you know, like he messed up his ankle or his leg. I totally forget. I'm blanking right now, which is terrible. Yeah. It's also the one where you know, you see like these funny Ole Miss things where they're like the guy's on the ground, he's like waving, but it becomes a very chippy game, and it's a lot of fun.
Right.
So even if you're not a fan, absolutely watch the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, it's definitely an entertaining one for sure. next, Missouri, 9-2, 5-2 in the SEC at Arkansas, 4-7, 1-6 in the SEC. The Battle Line rivalry, as this one is known, Friday, November the 24th at 4 o'clock on CBS. Missouri leads this one 9-4 and won last year as well. Matt says Mizzou is going to win this one 28-14. It looks like Vegas has this one around one score game right now. But I have to believe Mizzou will continue its impressive run with Cody Schrader and Brady Cook here against Arkansas team that's just really struggled this season, unfortunately. So I'm going to go Mizzou here 35-21. Jesse?
The person I was thinking of, the QB, was Matt Corral.
Oh yeah, Matt Corral, of course.
Yep. But going back to Mizzou and Arkansas, yeah, despite this being in Fayetteville, I just don't unfortunately think that the Razorbacks have it in them to get it done. Mizzou's put up some pretty impressive games. They have let some teams that are maybe not up to snuff get a little closer than they should. But I think in the end, the Tigers are able to pull this one out. So I'm going with Mizzou 31-21.
All right, good pick. Next, Kentucky, 6-5 at Louisville, 10-1. Look at Louisville in the
I
Governor's
know.
Cup. Saturday, November 25th at noon on ABC. Kentucky leads this series 19-15 and have won the last four. Matt is going to go with Louisville here, 42-35. Which, you know, I think is a good pick. They've had a solid season. Louisville has beating two ranked teams in Notre Dame and Duke earlier this season. Obviously, they're 10-1, as we mentioned, and just kind of seem like a safe bet against a Kentucky team that has underwhelmed this season. Plus, it's at home for Louisville, not at Kroger Field. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Cardinals here as well, 28-17. Jesse.
I hate to do it, but I'm picking against the conference as well. I'm picking Louisville in this one. I just do not think that Kentucky has what it takes, unfortunately. Devin Leary ain't it. I don't know if the OC ain't it, but it ain't it. And they're not utilizing all the weapons that they could, and there's some sketchy decision making happening on the field, and the defense is okay at times, but this is not going to be their day. So I'm picking the Cardinals 28-14.
Defense is okay.
Defense is okay. It's okay.
Yeah, so we made it a clean sweep against the conference there, but like we said, with good reason. So, next, Texas A&M, 7-4, 4-3 in the SEC at LSU, 8-3, 5-2 in the SEC. That is noon on ESPN. LSU leads this series 31-23-3. A&M won last year. Matt is going with LSU here, 38-28. And yeah, I think even if Max Johnson's back for this game, which I haven't seen an update for him this week, I don't know if it makes that much difference, to be honest with you. Jaden Daniels is just too much of a baller for this one to go A&M's way, I think. And it's not just about that. I mean, I think we've seen this LSU defense improve and do much less of the finger pointing and kind of start to take accountability for themselves as the year's gone along. So I'm going LSU as well, 38-28. Oh, yeah, that's the same pick. I got to fix that. I'll go back and change it because we can't have that. Jesse, what's yours?
I mean, luckily it's not a night game, but still they're in Death Valley. And need I remind you, yet again, over 400 yards passing for Jaden Daniels this past week. It's just not fair. He's his own cheat code. So I'm going to have to pick the Tigers in this one in a big one, 42-21.
Yeah, and I changed mine 38-24. Yeah, so got a little bit of separation there. All right, next, Alabama, 10-1, 7-0 in the SEC at Auburn, 6-5, 3-4 in the SEC in the Iron Bowl, 3:30 on CBS, which am I mistaken? I can't remember. This is the last hurrah for the SEC on CBS, right? Isn't it?
I think so.
I believe that's the last one. So, Alabama leads the series here 49-37-1 and has won the last three. Jesse, plug your ears. Matt says he's going with Auburn 28-27. He says, I have a feeling. ... So we'll see what happens with
that's
that.
That's called indigestion, Matt.
Indigestion. That's it right. comes. You know, we always say that when it comes to rivalry games, like you can throw out the records and expectations. And I think the Iron Bowl is a prime example of that. I think last week was a punch in the face for Auburn. They go into this game with even more motivation than normal. Because of that, I think the defense keeps Auburn in this game into the third quarter. But I'm not going to get crazy here. I'm saying I'm going to say that they are aided by a few unexpected bursts of offense by Peyton Thorne, Jarquez Hunter and company, but Alabama just proves to be too much with too much depth. So I'm going to go with the Tide in this one, 31-17. Jesse?
Yeah, I am maybe not like some of the Alabama faithful where I think that them losing to New Mexico was a great thing. It was fun to watch, but not going into Iron Bowl week. And I do not care how bad Auburn is. I don't care. Because there's something different about the Iron Bowl. There just is. And it's in Jordan Hare, which I don't like even yep. more. But, you know, we were supposed to just stomp them a couple years ago. And we went into, what was it, 4 overtimes?
Mm-hmm. It was just two years ago, right? I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Not great. Didn't like that. Regardless, I think Bama gets it done here. I tend to agree with you that we let Auburn stay in this game a little bit longer than we should. I think our offense is going to be coming off of a lot of hype. They've been getting a lot of hype. Milroe's been getting a lot of hype. And I think there's just some jitters and maybe a little bit of overconfidence going into it, especially after watching Auburn's loss this past week. And they are going to have to settle down. And they're really going to have to settle down in the second half. So I'm picking the Tide. As I do, but it's going to be 34-24.
All right.
I am okay wrong in it being like 66-10. I am okay with that. Bama winning 66.
Right, 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 right. It's always important to clarify. Yeah. It's usually entertaining. The Iron Bowl always has its own unique flair for sure.
And what's the over under on how many times they show kick six this weekend?
Oh gosh, they will show it. I will say 4 times. What do you say?
Oh, at least. I'm going to go over.
You say over? Over that? Yeah. Yeah, it's they do love that. And it's usually paired with the prayer at Jordan Hare. They love to just string them together. Like, oh, yeah, remember all these crazy games? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, that was the season.
So glad we get to
everyone else.
We get to be the ones to close it out. With Gary Danielson. Thank you so much for giving us that gift. What a memory we'll have.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. So, all right, let's talk about Vanderbilt 2-9, 0-7 in the SEC at Tennessee, 7-4, 3-4 in the SEC, which last year Jesse dubbed the Dolly Parton Bowl. And I think that that's a great title because it's something that both teams can probably agree on.
It's something everybody loves.
Yeah.
I'm not one person that doesn't love Dolly Parton.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good one. And not hearing any great alternatives, I think that's what it should be. So Matt says that Tennessee is going to win this one 42-14. And like we mentioned earlier, Matt has confirmed that some of the Vol faithful are calling for Heupel's head after the loss to Georgia. I think that's a bit harsh, but if he loses this one, it might be justified. Okay. But that's not going to happen, right? The Vols are going to roll big here, 38-17. Jesse?
Yeah, I am on that bandwagon. I think the Vols get it done here. They're frustrated coming out of the game with UGA. Vanderbilt, bless their sweet baby angel hearts, just can't get it done. So I am going to pick the Vols in this one, 35-14. And if it's on SEC Network, I'm correct in that Jordan Rogers is a commentator, right? Is he going to commentate this game?
I mean, he is a commentator. I don't know if it's going to be this one, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sorry for those that are going to have to listen to that because the amount
you're not
of
a fan. I know that.
No, the amount of times he's going to bring up the fact that he played at Vanderbilt and talk about his memories of being at Vanderbilt is it's going to be like Col Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. It's just, it doesn't stop. And so I am sorry for you.
Yeah, I wonder, obviously, I know they're all supposed to be professionals, but I wonder how much they consider that when you're calling a game for your alma mater, especially someone who already likes to kind of talk about themselves that much. So,
well, I mean, Herbie does it sometimes, but he's not that bad. He gets on his like tangents, but it's not that bad. And even when, you know, on game day, when Reese Davis is talking about Alabama, he doesn't go full Bammer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously these guys are getting paid to be
Desmond's
objective.
Different. And Desmond goes full Michigan.
Yeah. It's funny how each of them kind of have their own unique, I guess, expectation would be, they're like, that's just Des being Des. So it's like there's an expectation for each person. You expect some of them to be professional, some of them to be homers. And I don't know how you set that. I guess it's sort of up to them how they set it themselves.
Gordon Rogers, I guess he just feels the need at any opportunity to remind people that he was also a quarterback. And I don't, there needs to be some family therapy done there with the Rogers family, because clearly there's some, you know, issues, but like we get it.
That is true. Gosh, when your brother is one of the premier quarterbacks and has been for, you know, in the NFL for a long time, it's got to be weird. When obviously you played the same position too, and then things didn't quite work out the exact same way. But you know,
it is my understanding they don't have much of a relationship either. So,
well, you know, obviously, I don't know how the rest of the family is, but them two are interesting individuals. We'll just leave it at that.
So, what a fun Thanksgiving that would be. That family pickup game is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's aggressive, but it is fun.
Probably ends in shouting and everyone just kind of dispersing at the end. And
oh, the football is popped.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. So next, Florida State 11-0 at Florida, 5-6 in the Sunshine Showdown, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Yeah, that's kind of a rough one. Florida leads this series 37-27-2. Florida State won last year. Matt is going FSU 38-10 in this one. Obviously the huge story here is the devastating injury to Jordan Travis, who, has said that his college playing career is over. Not necessarily a huge surprise, given that he's a redshirt senior. So obviously he's going to look to the future, and that's, you know, what we would expect. Obviously, the first and foremost is his health, and we wish him the best and all that good stuff for sure. But he's been a lot of fun to watch this season, and his absence really changes the complexity not only of this game but of the season and the playoff, because you know they're sitting right there at four, right? Last I saw. So obviously we'll have more rankings that come out tomorrow as we record. So but yeah, for this one, Tate Rodemaker gets the start at quarterback for FSU, and Florida, you know, who knows, they might have to start a different QB as well. Max Brown, who filled in for Mertz last week, with Florida still playing for a bowl bid here. I expect this one to be intense. They're obviously going to be really fired up with going against defensively a backup as well. So I expect them to bring the pressure on defense, trying to keep Rodemaker flustered. It's hard to pick against an 11-0 Florida State team. But I just think the motivation for Florida of a rivalry game, playing for a bowl spot and not a losing season, plus the appeal of sending blitzes at the backup quarterback, with the swamp going wild, I got to go with the Gators here. And this might be one of my, you know, ridiculous feelings like I had a few weeks ago where I strung a bunch of bad decisions together, but I'm going with Florida 27-24. Jesse, what do you got?
I'm going to join you in that. I had FSU to begin with, and the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't know, coming off of the Mizzou loss, so close. I mean, so close. And they were able to just pull it almost to the finish line. And they're trying to get a bowl game. And they're in the swamp. And it's a rivalry game. And they're going against a backup QB. I think it's just, there's some things that are weighing in their favor. There is a couple little sprinkles in the cauldron there that they're stirring up, that could make something. It's going to be close. I think this might be a fun one to watch, even if you're not a fan of either of those teams. This is going to be a pretty good one. I'm going to go with the Gators in this one. Very, very close. 1-point game. And this time, this week, they're actually on the winning side of it. So I'm going to go Gators 24-23. And if you're someone, obviously, I know FSU is an ACC school, but if you are someone that enjoys rivalries, this one is a fun one. It really is. After being in school and elementary school in Florida for a couple of years, it's really, really fun. I mean, you know, I came from an Iron Bowl family, and you go down to this one and it's lights out there too. So it's really, really fun to watch as a non-biased fan.
Right. Just one of those ones that's just fun to watch, not having a dog in the fight. So,
I mean, most of these that we're talking about this week are very fun to watch. If you're not a fan, this is the college football, like, weekend of just good games that are fun to watch, and you don't have anything else to do. So why not?
And it's in the name of our podcast, the pageantry of it all. You get to see each school's tradition. Obviously you see that every week, but I feel like it's elevated more so in with these rivalries and it's all the traditions between these two schools. Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, whether it's your school or another school, to go to a rivalry game, it is such an experience. It's so much fun to just witness. And it truly is, you know, across all of these games, it's so ingrained in families and so ingrained in communities. And it's just fascinating psychologically and fun, you know, just to look at. I was talking this week to my boyfriend who grew up in Texas and, you know, didn't go to an SEC school and it grew up a college baseball player all in on that. And, you know, teaching him this like Bama fandom has been very interesting for him and very fun. And he joked with me and said, you know, what would you do if I was an Auburn fan? And I, in all honesty, I said, I wouldn't date you. We would have never gone out. And he was like, why? And I said, because I'm not a big enough person to handle football season with you. I'm not. It would be argumentative the whole time. We would be at odds with each other. And come Iron Bowl, especially you're adding on a family holiday plus an Iron Bowl all right there sandwiched together. It's a recipe for disaster. If you were an Auburn fan, an LSU fan, or a Tennessee fan, I would not date you. And you wouldn't want to date me either. You hate me too.
Let's say, at least you're upfront and honest about it.
It's so real though.
For sure. No doubts. And, you know, speaking of hatred, the next game, Georgia 11-0 at Georgia Tech 6-5. This one is actually nicknamed the clean old fashioned hate.
At least it's clean.
Clean. Yeah, this, exactly. If it's going to be hate, might as well be clean, right? And old fashioned. This is 7:30 on ABC, which, by the way, this is the first time, gosh, that I can remember that this game has not been played at noon. Typically, on rivalry weekend, we watch the dogs at noon, and then as the game is ending, then we flip it over to Bama Auburn for the Iron Bowl, and it's going to be a little bit flipped this year. So, Georgia leads this series 70-41-5 and has won the last five here. Matt's pick, he has Georgia 42-28. As I mentioned, the times being a little bit flipped this year. Georgia's expected to win big here. But an interesting side story in this game, and really just for Georgia Tech in general, is their quarterback Haynes King has an opportunity to break both the passing touchdowns record and the passing yards record at Tech. He'll have two games to do so since they're already bowl eligible. But he currently has 26 passing touchdowns. The record is 29. And he currently has 2,597 yards in the air. The record is 3,085. So be watching to see how much further he gets in this one. I don't think the dog defense is going to allow that much, though. I'm going to have to stick with the expectations here and go with Georgia 45-14. Jesse, what you got?
As an SEC fan, you, as listeners, may recognize the name Haynes King. He was an A&M transfer, for those that are trying to remember why you know that name. But yeah, despite him going for that sweet record, I don't think that Tech gets it done. And I would happily be wrong, but, you know, going into the SEC championship, I'd happily be wrong. But I just don't think they get it done. I'm going to pick the Dogs in this one, 44-13.
That's a good pick. Huh?
I'm glad the hate is clean.
The hate is clean, right. Pure hatred. All right, so finally, the final game that we'll talk about, Clemson 7-4 at South Carolina 5-6. This is the Battle of the Palmetto State. 7:30 on SEC Network. I miss the days of, what was this trophy? It was like the Hardee's Trophy, I think is what it was back in the day. what a great trophy. I love it.
I mean, I hope that they got sponsored enough to like get full Hardee's meals, biscuits in the morning. Hardee's has great biscuits.
They really do. And just the biscuit alone is enough to sustain you for quite a while. So
truly, and this is not sponsored by Hardee's, but it could be.
Yeah. But 7:30 on SEC Network, Clemson leads this series 72-43-4. South Carolina won this one last year and will need to do so again this year in order to make it to a bowl game, as we mentioned earlier. Matt is going with Clemson 28-21. Kind of similar to the Florida FSU game here, with the exception of the quarterbacks being out, of course, as far as urgency goes, I think they'll be very similar. Clemson has had their struggles this year, and though they've kind of righted the ship recently, South Carolina's playing for a bowl bid, as we mentioned, with Florida playing for a bowl bid. They're playing for a winning season. They've proven to themselves that they can do it. They did it against Clemson a year ago on the road. It's at home at Willie B with Sandstorm playing on repeat. Give me Carolina 27-21. Jesse?
I changed my pick. I didn't even have a score. I wrote down Clemson and I was like, nah, that ain't it. I'm going with Spencer Rattler. That's who I'm going with in this one. I'm going with Spencer Rattler. It's like you said, they're playing for a bowl. And this is also, I mean, this is his last college football game. If they don't get a bowl, this is his last home game. This is it.
Everything is on the line.
Everything really is on the line. And this is also a very intense rivalry as well. And so I'm picking Spencer Rattler in the Gamecocks, mostly Spencer Rattler, in a close one, 24-23.
All I'm hearing is that there's going to be some really exciting football this weekend, and that excites me. So I'm really looking forward to it. Aside from, you know, the Thanksgiving feasts and all that stuff too, which is going to be great in and of itself. So cool. Well, that does it for the upcoming games and rivalry week. Just for fun, speaking of Thanksgiving Day feasts, I thought it would be kind of fun here. Which SEC coach do you think it might be the most fun for them to crash your Thanksgiving Day feast? Like if one coach just showed up into your Thanksgiving Day meal, who do you think would be the most fun? And then alternatively, which one would be the one to spoil the party?
I feel like this has changed over the years. Like if you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, my answer would be the opposite. I'm going to go Lane Kiffin. I'm picking Lane because I think he's going to flirt with your grandma and it's going to be funny. And he's going to have some good jokes while you're watching football. He's going to be trolling people on Twitter, which is going to be enjoyable to watch firsthand. Hopefully he brings juice with him, which I would be very okay with. And I think that instead of like cooking and bringing something, he probably just like went by Hardee's and got some biscuits and brought it. Like, I'm okay with this. I think he would be a lot of fun and he would probably get way too into like ribbing with your uncle that's sensitive about having played in a high school football championship and, you know, threw out his arm and they lost in the last second. But had he been in there, they would have won. And they're playing pickup football. Like, Lane's going to troll him. It's going to be great to watch.
Make these little comments just to kind of needle it a little bit and just to get him riled up. Yeah.
It's going to be great. And then the one that would spoil it, I'm going to have to say the one that would spoil it for me, and I don't know if he counts, but would be Jimbo Fisher. Cause I'd be like, you literally weren't invited. You like, not only are you crashing, but like, you're just literally not invited.
Jesse, I can hear you going, you're not a real coach.
Not a real coach. Not a real coach. Yeah, for me. And then Jimbo would be like, I can see him being the guy that takes a fork and like tastes everything out of big bowls. And, you know, is rude about the potato salad. Like, he's just rude about it. He's like, who made the potato salad? And you're like, why do you matter? You weren't invited. And he's like, wow.
Somebody like following behind him, having to scoop out an entire section of where he's been messing with it with the fork and just to try to make it somewhat sanitary.
He's like bringing resumes and asking you like who you know and if like, you know, I don't know.
I would appreciate if you guys could pass these out.
Yeah. No, I don't really need a job. I got $78 million, but okay.
Cool. Yeah. No. I like those. That's good stuff. As far as the most fun, I'd have to go with Sam Pittman. Because you got to think he's going to bring his own food, probably something that he grilled himself with some really good seasoning on it. And, you know, he's a big fan of the old cold beer now. So he's going to bring some of that, not sure if what he brings would be, you know, of taste, but hey, whatever, it is what it is. We appreciate what he brings.
He helps you fry the turkey. Like, he doesn't sit and like not do anything. He helps you fry the turkey for sure.
As far as spoiling the party, I kind of feel like it needs no explanation. Probably Drinkwitz. I just feel like he would just have to try to say a bunch of, you know, catchphrases to try to keep everybody engaged. He's like scrolling TikTok to try to find the latest phrase that he can like say to the kids. He
interjects himself in the grandkids like TikTok dance. He's like, hey, I know them. Let me get one of them. Let me get in on this one. I'm like,
whatever. You capping. And it's
like, that's bussing, right? It's just like, oh no.
Okay, just stop, Eli. It's just that's enough.
Grandma has to pull him aside and be like, you're scaring the children.
Right. You just have to stop. Just stop. You have to
sit down. Eli, sit down.
I almost said Lane. Because I took it the opposite way that you went. I feel like he would get inappropriate, but it might be with like a cousin who's like half his age. And that would just get bad and awkward. And you just like, just Lane, we appreciate you stopping by. But you got to keep it under control, man.
He's the cousin that, like, you're like, he just comes to get a plate and then he leaves. We're all just ready for him to leave.
Right. So there's that. But then also, I feel like Kirby would walk in and say, all I want to do is f-ing eat. And then we would just have some, you know, major issues. We're like, dude, you got to dial it down. I understand the intensity. You're an intense guy. Well, we got to dial it down for Thanksgiving. And we really appreciate that.
Anthony hasn't said his first word yet, and we really don't want that to be it. So if we could pull that back, that would be great.
Oh, man, I love it. All right, well, that's good. I am looking forward to Thanksgiving even more now. So hopefully, you know, hopefully some coach crashes the feast. I don't know.
There we go.
But we appreciate everyone listening. Obviously, we got some exciting games coming up, and we're really looking forward to that. If you'd like to email us, please hit us up at pigskinsandpageantry@gmail.com. We are at pigskinsandpageantry on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. On X, we are at PPSEC Podcast. And then don't forget, we are available for download on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn Radio, and most podcasting apps for iPhone, Android, and other operating systems. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and review. We'd love it if you take a moment to do that and help increase the visibility here. And we do appreciate you listening and being a part of the conversation. Until next time, this is Wes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and go Dogs.
Try not to punch your cousin, your uncle, or your meemaw this holiday season. If you are one of the Tide faithful, get your Dixieland Delight ready and sing it correctly. Roll Tide.